got a little slip the ushers are going to bring to you that goes along with the message today for you to fill out and help you stay awake. Amen. Some of you are tired. You've been working all night and stuff. God bless you. I'm amazed at some people that show up when they go through that, and I'm glad for them. Acts chapter number 2 and verse 42 says this, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." And I want to speak on that subject this morning, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We have a theme verse behind us here that basically says the same thing. How Timothy was told by Paul to continue in the things which he had learned. That's the same as doctrine. Doctrine is a word that means truth. It means teaching. What you have been taught, what truths you have been taught, continue in them, especially those that are anchored in the foundational teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and the prophets and the apostles. Now, the first century church here, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The church today is told, don't bring doctrine into this. Doctrine divides people. Doctrine's too judgmental. Or you think you're the only one that's right. And, well, that's just your opinion. That's just your interpretation. We are taught that in the latter days, some would depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We'll see in a verse later that the Bible prophesies the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And I believe that is today. Today is the day when we are not enduring sound doctrine. We are doing today the very opposite that the first century church did when it says in our text here in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Or I could read it this way, and they continued steadfastly in the truth. They continued steadfastly in the teachings that Christ taught them, or the teachings that the apostles taught them. They continued steadfastly, but today there's a spirit that prevails over the radio and over the television and in the ecumenical movement of our day that says, forget about doctrine. Let's set our differences aside. Let's set our doctrine aside. Let's all be one. And I am here this morning to warn you that that is not what God wants for His church. God wants us to be like the church He started, like the church that the apostles continued here in verse number 42. And this is what we need to obey. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. This is not the time to give up on truth. This is not the time to give up on the teachings of Christ and the apostles and the Bible just so we can get along with all the other churches and denominations and religions of the world. And I want to bring a message about that this morning as we talk about different areas this year that we're supposed to continue in. And one of them is we need to continue in the truth that has been taught us by the apostles that they learned from Christ. Our theme verse, 2 Timothy 3:14, says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." In other words, the truth, the apostles' doctrine, the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, the teachings of the prophets. Continue, Timothy, in those things. and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And when was Timothy given this admonition? Right after 13 consecutive verses about how bad it's going to get in the last days. And Paul, again, as I've stressed this year, said to Timothy, no matter how bad the world gets, you continue in the things you've learned. Don't you give up. Don't compromise. Don't water things down. Don't go to the right or the left. Just walk that straight and narrow path, even if you're the only one that's going to believe that way. You continue in the things that you have learned and received. Now, doctrine is about the most boring subject you can bring up to the body of Christ. It really is, but it's the most needful. I mean, if I said, boy, I'm going to preach on prophecy all month in February, man, people would be excited. Because that's exciting stuff, prophecy. Ooh, we're going to have a prophecy conference. Or I brought somebody in to have a creation conference. Ooh, boy, that's going to be exciting. Or even some things like marriage or raising children. Some people, boy, that's going to help me. I'll be there for that. But you know, if a pastor stood up and said, I'm not going to preach for the next 12 weeks. I'm just going to teach on the 12 main doctrines of the Christian faith. A lot of people would say, oh, man, I'm not going to that. That's kind of boring. But doctrine is foundational. Doctrine is foundational. Doctrine is what still stands when everything else crumbles around it. You know, and this is just human nature. If we went up to Eagle Heights today, in Orchard Park, where all the rich people live, I lived about a mile away from there, grew up about a mile away from there. But my house wasn't like theirs. But if we went up there, and there's a lot of good people up there. I went to school with a lot of wonderful people up there and everything. But you wouldn't drive around Eagle Heights and Orchard Park and say, hey, man, look at that foundation on that house. Look at the foundation on that house over there. Look at the foundation on that. No, you wouldn't say that. You know what you'd say? Wow, look at that doorway. Look at those dormers. Look at those windows. Wow, look at the size of that mansion. Look at the lighting on that house. Look at the deck on that place. And that's when it comes to houses, we're impressed from about everything from the foundation up. But nobody looks at one of those houses in Eagle Heights and says, wow, what a foundation. But brother, not one of those houses would stand if it didn't have a good foundation. Solid concrete or block or whatever, but they had to dig down under the frost line and get under there at least 42 inches and pour their footer and work up from there, and they have to make sure that thing doesn't move. They had to get the foundation right to build anything else upon it. Everything else is just kind of facade. The siding, the windows, the lighting, and all that kind of stuff. The architectural shingles and so on. By the way, I was up praying in my bedroom last night, getting ready for church. I thought I heard a tree hit the top of the house. But I said, man, we don't have any trees. And it was more of the shingles from the roof vent. Man, they just, a whole big wind gust come along, hit them things, and we just replaced a bunch down the road from them, and now a bunch of other ones flew up and hit the house. I had to go out there. I thought a branch, man, that was a windstorm last night. But the foundation is what's important. And brethren, we need a foundation. I can't believe how many people leave churches like ours. Not that our church is perfect, but we have tried to stress doctrine like it's nothing, and go join a church that uses all kinds of different versions of Bibles, all kinds of music, all kinds of strange doctrines. But they like it because they feel good there. Is this what Paul told Timothy was going to happen when he talked about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils? I think so. You got to watch out for seduction, spiritual seduction. The demons know how to seduce people. They know how to get people to follow the human spirit, the feelings, rather than the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people are looking for churches someday, today where I can go and when I leave, I feel good. I thought church was about God. Worshiping God, praising God, serving God, and loving the brothers and sisters in the Lord and trying to minister to them. The last I heard, we were supposed to die to self and deny self and crucify self and live for the Lord and others. But the seducing spirits of today, I think, are fabricating churches where people can go in and feel good and then go back the next Sunday and get their fix. Their emotional fix. And they go, and it doesn't matter if the doctrine's wrong and the Bible's wrong and the music's wrong. It doesn't matter about anything. It makes me feel good. That's where we're living nowadays. The purpose of the church is not to make us feel good, but to make us do good. And if you do good, you will end up feeling good. You'll have the joy of the Lord if you do good. Brother, we need some doctrine. The first century church set an example, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The apostles would go on, by the way, to write 22 of the 27 New Testament books. They were the ones that knew the Lord. Their names are listed. Look back in chapter number 1 here. In chapter number 1, their names are listed for us in verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. There's 11 of them there. Judas Iscariot had killed himself, committed suicide. But we have their names there. And then, of course, we talked about continuing in prayer last week. And I hope you're doing that. I hope you haven't forgotten about that already, because prayer makes history. Prayer changes things. Prayer moves mountains. Prayer saves souls. Continue in prayer. That was last week out of verse 114. I'm kind of going through the book of Acts here to see what did they continue in. Let's be like them. Continue in prayer with the ladies and so on and so forth. And then we just saw historical examples last week of how when people prayed, they made history. And we can too. Your prayers can profoundly affect people. Save souls and move mountains and help New York State and help our country if we'll just pray. God will work. But these were the apostles. And later there was another apostle born out of due season. His name was the Apostle Paul, and God showed him things too. As the Bible was a continuing revelation until the last book ended with Amen. And now we have a completed revelation in written form. It's called the Holy Bible. And when you study the Bible, you study the doctrine of the prophets, you study the doctrine of Christ, you study the doctrine of the apostles. And we need to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine right through to Christ. It doesn't matter if we get to the point where nobody else anywhere believes like we do. We need to stick to the truth. And we need to end. And I fear sometimes, I don't know what our Lord meant when he asked this question. He said, "When I come, will I find faith?" I hope he will. I hope when Christ comes, he's going to still find a few people everywhere, a remnant, who says we stuck to the truth, we believed in the truth, the world opposed us, but we didn't change. Doctrine. Doctrine. We need doctrine. Doctrine divides, and that's a good thing. It divides light from darkness. It divides truth from error. It divides righteousness from unrighteousness. It divides the way to heaven from the way to hell. Doctrine is a good thing. It's a Bible word. It divides truth from error. I've written books. These things collect a lot of dust. These books on doctrine that I've written, angelology, about angels, pneumatology, about the Holy Spirit, oranology, the doctrine of heaven. What's heaven really like? Soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. Thanatology, the doctrine of death. That book will bless your heart. Sounds kind of morbid, but read it. It'll bless your heart. The doctrine of death. Bibliology, the doctrine of the Word of God. Christology, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church. Eschatology, the doctrine of end times. I got one we haven't printed yet. Paterology, the doctrine of the Father. Doctrine, I think these were the hardest studies that I have ever put any effort into. And they helped me because I got to one point in my life, I'm serious, that very few people ever get to, where I said, I don't care, I hope you understand, I'm about ready to say, I don't care what my pastor says, I don't care what my father says, I don't care what my brother says, I am going to know for myself what I believe and why I believe it. I am not taking a chance with my soul, and I am not taking a chance with truth. I'm going to know what I believe and why I believe it, and I'm not going to leave that up to anybody else. And this was the product of my study. And about you, you can trust your soul to somebody else, but I'm going to find out about salvation myself, what it says. I'm going to do the work. So I did the work. And I got hundreds and hundreds of hours of study into those booklets, and they just collect dust. They're not very interesting. We need doctrine, brethren. We need doctrine to keep our church strong. The prophet Amos cried out one time in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? How can we join up with the other churches and denominations and religions of the world? We don't agree with them on anything. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And the only thing that can bring us into agreement is doctrine. We must continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The next generation, when I die, some of you have got to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And some of you have got to get the backbone that you're going to need to say, we do not care how much the world changes. We do not care how much the world says we're wrong. This is what I believe, and this is why I believe it, because the Bible says so. Because the Bible says so. Now, there's three types of doctrine in the Bible I want to expose to you here for your notes, just to give you a warning. All right? So if you want to fill out some things on your notes there, I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9, talking about the apostles' doctrine, and we are warned. For everything that's true, Satan's going to come with something contrary. And I want you to notice, number one, there's three types of doctrine mentioned in Scriptures. Number one, there's strange doctrine. There's strange doctrine. In Hebrews 13, verse 9, it says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Now, meats are for those that are of mature age, and one of the dangers of maturing in Christ, and one of the new temptations you face when maturing in Christ, and whenever you go to new levels, there's new devils. Higher levels, higher devils. And that is pride. When you get to really knowing the Bible and walking with the Lord and seeing prayers answered and things start happening, all of a sudden you face a new temptation. And what is that? To try to discover something nobody else has ever learned before. You better watch out about that. If you ever come up to some conclusion that nobody else has ever thought of before, brother, you've probably invented a strange doctrine. And boy, I've heard some doozies in my life. You got to watch people talk. They talk like experts about aliens and UFOs and angel sightings and dreams and visions and so on and so forth. Listen, if every one of your dreams does not conform to this Bible, you reject every dream you've ever had, you reject every vision you've ever had, and you stick with the Bible. You stick with the Word of God. I mean, Joseph Smith, maybe he was eating too much pizza one day or something, and he thought the angel Moroni came down and told him where the golden tablets were over here in Palmyra. Near. He started a whole new religion. That guy got killed in a jailbreak. He was the guy in jail. He was going around deceiving people, selling miracle wheat in New York. We run him out of this state. He went down to Ohio. They ran him out of there. He ended up in Utah. Ended up in jail. Now, they've twisted the story to make him look like a martyr. But this is what happens when people start strange doctrine, and they get a bunch of followers to follow them who are not reading the Bible for themselves. Strange doctrine. We got to be careful about strange doctrines and questions and striving about those questions and splitting hairs and that type of a thing. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in the faith, so do. It says ignore all those people that come up with fables and genealogies and all they do is minister questions. They never answer anything. Brethren, there are some absolutes. Some things are absolutely right, some things are absolutely wrong. 1 Timothy 6:4 says, or 3 says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine, which is according to godliness, verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof come envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. You know, watch out for questions. There's some people that have the stump the preacher attitude about it. Boy, I got a doozy the pastor can't answer. Well, big deal. There's a lot of questions I can't answer. But we need to focus on the truth. The secret things belong to the Lord, right? Amen. Deuteronomy 29:29. But the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children from this generation forever. So we ought to focus on truth, not on questions that nobody can answer. They're strange doctrine. And then number two, there's satanic doctrine. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, there is satanic doctrine. Did you know the Bible says the devil is a liar and the father of lies? And that's what we call satanic doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. This means with great passion, with great excitement, the Holy Spirit is saying, body of Christ, listen to what I'm going to say right now. He was getting a little animated here. You know, when you get animated when you're preaching, people, you know, come out of their slumber. And it says here, now the Spirit speaketh expressly in an animated way, what? That in the latter times, some that as believers in Christ shall depart from the faith. Why? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Satanic doctrine. Doctrine of devils. He's coming up with all kinds. You know all these religions in the world? They're all fabricated. All these gods. All these false prophets. All these religious books, and there's volumes and volumes and volumes of religious books written on different religions and stuff. I know there's some good books too. Did it ever dawn on you that somebody fabricated all that? These major religions of the world? Somebody fabricated all that. In the latter times, have you ever noticed in the latter times, over the last few hundred years, the explosion of new Bibles and new religions and new philosophies and even new so-called science? Have you ever noticed the depths of some of the scientific lies that are being taught to the public that have no empirical scientific data that proves them even to be a good theory? Some of them don't even qualify to be hypotheses, and yet they're taught as truth to our children. Science, philosophy, religion, when? In the latter times. And some are going to depart from the faith and give heed to these seducing spirits. Boy, that sounds good. That sounds good. Did you know it takes some backbone to stand up today and say, I believe God made everything in 6 days. And in fact, I believe he's so powerful he could have done it in 6 seconds if he wanted to. But he wanted to set up a calendar of a 6-day work week and a 7th day of rest. He didn't need 6 days. He did that for us. So he could invent time. weeks and months and years and so on, and hours and days. Boy, it takes guts now. People look at you like you're just some kind of an imbecile to believe that. I don't know. If you believe in an all-powerful God, you have no problem with six-day creation. You have no problem with it. No problem with it at all. There's satanic doctrine, health, wealth, prosperity gospels, social gospels. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, the Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And that verse is so important, it's repeated two chapters later in Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Seems right, so much of this stuff. I mean, the devil's been around a lot longer than you have. He's tricked a lot more people. He's been fooling people for 6,000 years. He knows how to fool us. He knows how to fool us. We need to keep our guard up and put on the whole armor of God. Can stand against the wiles of the devil. But praise God, number three, there's sound doctrine. There's sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 1, verse 3 says this, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 8, but we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers and manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Well, you know what that's saying right there? That's saying that doctrine incorporates beliefs and behavior. Write that on your notes. Beliefs and behavior at the bottom. See, a lot of people think doctrine has only to do with beliefs. You know, these booklets. Well, I got that all done. I got that all down. All this doctrine I could pass any test on any one of these doctrinal books. What about our behavior? Doctrine is not only beliefs, it's behavior. And one of the problems the church is having that I think we lack the power of God to see glorious conversions is that we're getting our beliefs from the Bible, but our behavior from the world. And it's because we're not being taught that doctrine not only teaches us truths about beliefs, but truths about behavior. Sometimes you start teaching on behavior and even people in the body of Christ call you a legalist. Man, I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me how to act. Don't tell me how to dress. Don't tell me how to speak. Don't tell me there's places I can go and places I shouldn't go. Don't tell me there's things I shouldn't allow in my house and so on. Get out of my behavior. No, doctrine is beliefs and behavior. So we are to continue in the apostles' doctrine steadfastly. And that right there that I just read to you is all about behavior. It's all about behavior. It was called doctrine. Look at the book of Titus, chapter 1. Titus 1 verse 9 says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Notice that. Hold fast the faithful word. Don't give it up because everybody else is compromising in 2012. Hold fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. Sound doctrine. And finally today, look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And then you got a little colon next to that word doctrine, which means that the following passage is going to tell you what sound doctrine is. You know what it is? The rest of the chapter, you know what it's about? Behavior. how the old men should behave in verse 2, how the old women should behave in verse 3, how the young women should behave in verses 4 and 5, how young men should behave in verses 6 and 7 and 8, how servants should obey in verses 9 and 10, and how we should have a relationship to government in chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. It's all about behavior. There's no beliefs mentioned there. It's just about behavior. Doctrine is not only our beliefs, it's our behavior. We should be able to say to anybody that asks us, the reason I behave this way is because the Bible says. And then tell them what the Bible says. The reason I don't go to those places is because the Bible says. And then tell them what the Bible says. The reason I dress this way, and my wife and daughters get this all the time, why do you dress that way? They should be able to say, because the Bible says. And then I tell them, turn it around on them, and then say to those ladies, why do you dress that way? Don't just keep taking it. Hammer them back. Jesus always answered questions with questions. Who gave you this authority? I'll ask you one question. If Jesus did it, we ought to be like him. They ask you a question, why do you dress that way? Then say, after you explain it, then say, why do you dress that way? Make them use their God-given brain for once. They won't have an answer. Everybody else does. So everybody else, you know what my dad used to say, everybody else dropping off a cliff, would you? Everybody else going over the falls, would you? Brennan, we got to get some backbone, but before we do, number one, we got to know what we believe and why we believe it. And then we got to have a good spirit while we're explaining it to people on a one-on-one basis. Got to have a good spirit. Believe me, I don't talk to people like I do from the pulpit when I'm one-on-one with them. I try to be gentle and tender. You'd be amazed that if you can be gentle and tender, some of the hard-hitting things you can say to somebody, and they'll take it if you have a right spirit about it. It's amazing how that'll work. I had an experience yesterday, but I won't get into it, that happened just that way regarding a prayer and what this person's religion had taught them about prayer and what the Bible had said about it. And I was able to explain that, and it made sense to the fellow that I was talking to in his home while we were out on visitation. A strange doctrine. They're satanic doctrine, but they're sound doctrine. And the Bible warns that in the latter times, people are going to get away from it. People are going to get away from it. We've got to stand fast. Stand fast. Look in closing at 2 Timothy 4. I think I said that already. That I was closing. Didn't mean it. You don't think I mean everything I say, do you? It's like the one pastor took over the church and the attendance just kept going down, 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 down until there was about nobody left but him and the deacon. And so the deacon went in to talk to him and he said, well, pastor, the pastor said, what do you think the problem is? He said, well, pastor, he says, every time you close a sermon, you say, you always end by saying, but then again, what do I know? He says, that might be some of the problem right there. Ends every sermon. Well, then again, what do I know? Everybody was leaving. Verse 3, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not, what's the next word? Endure. Brethren, sound doctrine needs to be endured. It's so easy to quit. It takes no character to quit. It takes no character to give up. It takes no character to say, I'm tired of fighting with people. I'm tired of explaining my positions. It takes no character to finally say, I give up. What does it matter anyway? And we are warned that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I think that time has come. But what are we supposed to do? Verse 5, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Endure. Just like verse 3, endure. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of the ministry. Look, it says when everybody else is quitting, you just endure. Endure the afflictions of being a Bible-believing Christian in an ungodly world. And taking the blows and being buffeted by this world and sticking up for the truth. Sticking up for the truth. Brethren, the first century church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The church today is not enduring sound doctrine, but looking for teachers that make them feel good. But I hope some of us will say, hey, I'm not going that route. Somebody once asked Lester Roloff, the evangelist, why do you have to have a head-on collision with everybody you meet? You know what he said? Because most people are going in the wrong direction. Man, that guy had a backbone, didn't he? We need some more like Lester Roloff. Just have a head-on collision with everybody you meet. But, you know, once in a while you'll get someone turn around. And they'll join you in the march. But I assure you, this morning, most people are going in the wrong direction. Most churches, we need to be careful right here. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, help us. Father, humanly, doctrine is not very exciting to us. We are a people who like to be entertained. We like sensational things. We like preachers waving their arms and doing jumping jacks and turning red in the face and entertaining and music. We like these things, and some of them are good, Lord. But our Father, the foundation is the teachings of Jesus Christ and the apostles as they continued. And the church you started in Jerusalem continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And in this year of continue, Lord, help us to realize we can't give up truth for anything. And we may have to be a separated people till Jesus comes. But Lord, help us. And Holy Spirit, give us all the discernment to know what a strange doctrine is, to know what a satanic doctrine is, even the seductive ones, and to know what sound doctrine is, and to pay the price, get in the Bible, read it for ourselves, study it, and know what we believe and why we believe it. Help us, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.